Oh, yeah.
Blog
Talk
Radio.
You ready, Rob?
Wake up, America. Stand up and get your crunk juice on.
You ready? This is quite started.
Oh.
Here we go.
Okay. Ah! All right, who that nation? Y'all know who that is. Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
We are you and Kevin. Tell them how we gonna come. Tell them why they don't come. Tell them why they better run.
You like that?
Wake up, New York. Wake up, Los Angeles.
I love it. Welcome to Course of Talking Sports with Talk Man. You know, you got to switch it up every now and then, kind of keep everyone on their toes. But it is Talking Sports with Talk Man. Today is Tuesday, February the 19th. I don't have an imaginary co-host. Robert is actually really here. So we are ready to kick off another explosive Talking Sports with Talk Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Mr. Robert Ford. And as always, got a lot of things to talk about, and I got to say hello to my co-host. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Had a great night of basketball. I tell you, we got a lot to talk about. What a game between Indiana and Michigan State, but I guess we'll be getting to that in a few. What's going on with you?
Hey, like I said, man, always excited, man. We always have some fun. Let's go ahead and kick it off, man, with a lot of things here. We're going to start off with some NBA talk, and we're going to jump into some college basketball and obviously some NFL as always. So it's been a lot of things to recap. So we'll talk about the All-Star game, all that fun stuff. But right now, if you were just kind of sitting back and had a good weekend, and I guess you've kind of seen how Mr. LeBron James is kind of doing his thing. He's had an amazing couple of weeks. And I guess the biggest challenge that we have is there an individual that's kind of threatening King James, if you will? And then also we're going to talk about who's the biggest team that's a threat to the Heat right now. So let's kind of kick it off with that, Rob. And I guess, as always, I'm going to throw out some numbers for those that call into the show. Give us your thoughts, all that fun stuff. If you want to call into the show, the number to call is 424-243-9519, as well as if you want to tweet us, show us some love on Facebook, you can hit us up by the Twitter at number 12, THMAN Sports. Also, we're on Facebook.com/12thmansports as well. So a lot of ways to hit us up. We're excited. And Rob, what do you think, what individual is kind of the biggest threat to Mr. King James is throwing right now, sir?
Well, I think that's a pretty easy answer. I think if there's anybody that can dethrone LeBron James as the best player in the NBA right now, I think it would have to be Mr. Kevin Durant. And I think, you know, and I don't think he's that far behind as we speak. And you know, if he is behind, for that matter, and but I think you can make a case for a 1A, 1B here. I think what probably sets LeBron a little bit ahead of Durant right now is that he's a little bit more versatile. I think he can do a lot of things. You're talking about a guy who can be your point forward. He can distribute the basketball. He's got great vision. He's improved his scoring in a lot of areas. He's improved his three-point game. He's improved his low post game. To go with this explosiveness to the basket, as well as he can rebound the ball, and he's going to be a first-team all-defender. And so, and I think that's what probably sets him just a notch above Durant. As we speak, Durant, of course, is probably one of the best pure shooters in the game. He's got one of the quickest releases I've seen in the NBA in a long time. He gets that shot off so quick, and he can shoot it over anybody because of his long arms, solid athlete as well. Solid defender as well, but he's not going to distribute the basketball and not the great rebounder that LeBron is yet too. So there's just, you know, some areas that you probably just put LeBron slightly ahead of him, but Durant would be that guy that could be a, you know, to one day dethrone him from that slot. And I'm going to throw out a sleeper name here too, Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. This is another guy that's so versatile, can really shoot the basketball, can really penetrate to the basket, can do a lot of different things. I don't know if he's a ball handler like LeBron James is, but you're talking about a guy that's extremely versatile and is a very good defender as well. and you can see he's carrying that Indiana team, along with David West and Roy Hibbert this year. And to, right now, they're still the third-best team in the Eastern Conference, even without Danny Granger.
Yeah, that's a good call, too. Great sleeper name, too. But it's interesting, too. I like where you're heading as far as Mr. Kevin Durant. You know, as mentioned, you know, he's definitely one of my favorite players as well. And you nailed it right on the head. I think right now, Durant, he's just a notch below LeBron. And like I said, I think it's kind of a maturation process because LeBron has kind of gone through his challenges. He's grown as a player. And, you know, he works so hard. And then, you know, as you said, he's got a little bit more skills as far as being able to kind of be a point forward. You know, Durant at this juncture just yet doesn't have, not to say he doesn't want to do that, he just doesn't have that situation just yet. I mean, obviously he's got a different sporting cast. But, you know, like I said, just a lights out shooter. You know, LeBron is definitely more of a complete player. But, I mean, like I said, it's coming down, this is going to be a pretty good final. So we see those two kind of battle it out right now. But I definitely got to give the edge to the Heat at this juncture. But, you know, as you said, right now, OKC is not far. I mean, obviously, Durant goes into the offseason and kind of works on his game, his post-up, and kind of some things he wanted to work on. They're not that far off, as you mentioned, as well, too. So it's going to be a very exciting time. The edge still goes to King James right about now. But as you mentioned, you like the maturation of Paul George, another good name, and stuff like that. And Rob, you know, I'm going to kind of take a step back. It's interesting, too, even kind of in like the late 80s, early 90s, you had all these teams like, you know, that you had these teams that were good. You know, you had like Lakers, you had to doubt, you know, you had to deal with, you know, Magic Johnson and James Worthy and all the other cats. You had to deal with Celtics. They had Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and, you know, Robert Parrish and whatnot. Then you got the Bulls, you had the Pistons. There, it seems like there was more good teams, if you will, back in the day than there are now, as opposed to a couple different players. I don't know if you think the same about that, but it's just kind of interesting to see how the game has evolved, obviously.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think what you see in the NBA today as opposed to what you were seeing in the 80s, I think today you have more elite athletes in the game. I think there are more of an abundance of them. And I think I think the game is more predicated on the defensive end now that can lead to transition points and than it used to be. I think the game was all about shooting and scoring. But I think that the game is definitely involved in transitioning into more of a defensive transition kind of game. And like I said, I think the game is a little bit more athletic. You see guys with long wingspans. You kind of see the different types of athletes that are in the game today. So I do think you're right. I think it's a different NBA, but I still think there's some good teams in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably somewhere between 4 to 6 teams right now that are capable I'm making a run and winning a championship here once the playoff starts. And so, I mean, that still should make it, you know, pretty exciting once playoff time starts.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not saying that these aren't exciting times, Rob. I was just kind of saying, I just kind of think back in the days when you just knew that, you know, you're going to have to deal with, you know, these certain teams every single night, you know, whether it's the Lakers and Magic and, you know, whether it's the Celtics and just a different team dynamic back in the day as opposed to, you know, maybe you're dealing with, you know, LeBron or Kate, you know, Kevin Durant now. And, you know, there's some good players that are kind of doing their thing, but just I don't know if they're as dominant teams like they were in the 80s as they are now. So that's good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I think I would I definitely agree with that, what you're saying there. I think, yeah, there were definitely teams were a little bit more dominant. But I think today is a different league, and I think the reason for that is I think you have a salary cap where teams can be a little bit more competitive, and which I think is, you know, great for the league. For, you know, spreading some of the wealth. Well, you look at a Lakers team in the 80s, man, they can go 9-10 deep. And so you probably don't have those kind of teams anymore just for the simple fact. Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons why. Salary cap, and plus there's a few more teams in the league to kind of spread the wealth out.
Gotcha. We'll talk about passing in the NBA here real quick, but let's jump to some interesting real quick topics about Kobe and Dwight. Are they getting along, Rob? You think we're going to be
you skipped a topic. Then we skip a topic in regards to who we think can dethrone the Heat.
Oh yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll talk about that real quick, sir. I was naturally going to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder, but I'll let you go with that. Add your little 2 cents, sir. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I guess that's obvious too. I would definitely say the Oklahoma City Thunder will be the team, but I think the Thunder will still win the West. But I don't think the Thunder is as good as they were last year. And I think losing that James Harden element is going to take them a slight. And I think Kevin Martin is a good player. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if he's bringing that explosive element that James Harden had coming off the bench. And so I don't think that they'll be able to beat the Heat this year. I still think the Heat will be the team to beat. But I tell you, if there's a team that can give the Heat a run for their money, it's the Indiana Pacers. And they can get a healthy Danny Granger back. And I think where the Miami Heat is weak is they're weak on the interior. If you got a team that can really just pound the ball on the inside, and the Pacers have that with Roy Hibbert and David West, they're 2-0 against the Heat already. And I think if you're the Miami Heat, they want no part of the Indiana Pacers in the playoffs. And like I said, they can get Granger, Paul George back. Paul George is already there. They get Granger back, and they have the big bodies, David West and Roy Hibbert, to pound the Miami Heat. The Heat are still a little soft in the middle, and that's where the Indiana Pacers can possibly give them a run for their money. So that's another team, if you're the Miami Heat, you wanna watch out. I think they may even have a better chance of beating the Heat than Oklahoma City Thunder does.
Wow. That'd be interesting. If they knock out the Heat, then I'm sure Oklahoma City is sending bouquets to all those guys because they're like, yeah, this is a – not to say it's going to be a tough, easy road, but that's one of the biggest challenges. But
I'm not saying they will beat the Heat, but I think they could be a team that can really challenge them.
Gotcha. Now this is the question, too. So you said, obviously what happened with, James Harden moving on, and I guess if you're the Thunder, I know it was kind of a young team and the situation was kind of a money deal, too. So I guess that's the thing. Do you think the fact that with another year under his belt that James Harden would, obviously blossomed? Or, you got a guy that's kind of obviously immensely talented. You see what he's doing with Houston Rockets right now. Would he be okay? Or was he kind of stifled at Oklahoma City, you think? Or what?
Well, I think he was still taking a back seat to Durant and Westbrook, and I think what you're seeing is you're seeing what kind of talent he really is. And I think you saw a little bit of that in OKC as well. But right now, with him being the number one option in Houston, you can see that he can really light it up. And, the Miami Heat really did a heck of a job on Harden. They really slowed him down in the finals last year. Whether it was LeBron James, whether it was Dwayne Wade, they really did a great defensive job on him last year, even Shane Battier. And so they really slowed him down in the finals. And so I think he could have learned from that and came back this year, and played a lot better in the finals. Not sure they still would have thrown the Heat, but I think, it could have been a little bit closer. But like I said, I think OKC is just a slight notch below than what they were last year without Harden.
Gotcha. We'll see how it plays out. You got to play the games, and you still got to stay healthy, and we'll see how that progresses. But once again, for those who want to call on the show, I'm going to throw out the number once again, 424-243-9519. You are in the zone with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Let's talk about some gifts here. Dwight Howard and Kobe, are they going to be exchanging Christmas gifts this year, Rob?
No.
Not at all.
Will Arsenio Hall have a new talk show?
He's going to have a new talk show, man. Come on, man. That's happening later on the show.
I know that.
So you said they are going to be staying.
It'll be called Good Morning Black America. It'll be aired at noon.
Here we go.
But no, on a serious tip here, no, they will not be exchanging Christmas gifts this year. Matter of fact, Kobe Bryant, there are reports out that Kobe Bryant is going to Laker management and says he will not be disappointed if they traded Dwight Howard. He told the organization, "You guys have my blessing if you trade Dwight Howard." I don't know if you also heard the reports of Dwight Howard mocking Kobe Bryant in the Western Conference All-Star locker room. Kobe Bryant did not like it at all. Thought it was disrespectful, and so the two of those guys are still feuding, and they just hadn't jailed, and I think a lot of people in the preseason here just kind of thought, Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, they're going to give OKC a run for their money. It just has not turned out to be the case, and so I'm a Laker hater, so I'm not complaining about it, but they will not be exchanging Christmas gifts.
Yeah, the Lakers fans, man. It's funny. I got the cover whenever Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, they were a picture of them, and just talking about how they're ready to take over the league, and then how the mighty have fallen, man. Just a terrible I guess, situation too. They're like, hey, this is going to be fun. They were all excited about going to the Lakers. And as we know, that did not come to fruition at all. So, you know, Laker fans, we're sorry about the season. That's why you have to play the games. And sometimes you make those trades, and sometimes they don't actually work out. So, you know, this is a situation where Lakers are going to have to rebuild. And with that, obviously, we have to definitely remember Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers, who actually passed on the 18th on Monday, which was definitely a kind of a sad situation. You know, this guy did a lot for the league. I was responsible for bringing the Lakers to L.A. and or him buying the Lakers and stuff like that. And, you know, 10 championships later, I mean, you can't help but be impressed with his resume, sir.
Oh, yeah. The guy was a lightning rod. I mean, he attracted players to want to come play for him. And, I mean, he built that Showtime era in Los Angeles where entertainers in Los Angeles wanted to come and sit front row to watch the Lakers play. And he really built an incredible organization. And you have to give him credit. You know, great pioneer for the game of basketball, great pioneer for professional basketball, that is, especially. And so definitely our condolences go to the Buss family, and truly a big loss for the NBA.
And I guess, we always, for some reason, we've had a couple of shows where we've kind of, it's just kind of sad how we had to make these condolences calls and stuff like that, too. But, obviously you want to leave with a legacy, and he's left a great legacy as far as, you know, I know he had some fun near the end. But, you know, sometimes it's good to kind of have your mark. And as you mentioned, he definitely changed the face of the Lakers and kind of helped them to get to where they are now. So a lot of shout outs to him. And like you said, condolences to his family, all that good stuff. Rob, you know, I want to take another quick turn here because obviously Michael Jordan turned 50 over this past weekend. And just want to kind of talk about his impact in the game because I had an interesting conversation at the barber shop where a lot of our great conversations take place. And one of the guys, he didn't think he wasn't a fan of Jordan as far as thinking he's one of the greatest players. And I should phrase that correctly. So I guess he obviously it's hard to quantify having a great player because there's so many different great players that came and played in the NBA. But, kind of want to get your thoughts about this because, you know, Jordan was kind of right, you know, we're kind of the same age, right whenever I grew up, just seeing the way that he impacted the game, just the way his dominance, his will to win. You hear some things that he wasn't the nicest person on the court, but I definitely think he made people around him better. And I think this is a guy that is very iconic in how the NBA has evolved. So I would like to hear thoughts about Mr. Jordan and kind of everything from sneakers to marketing. And this was a guy before Twitter and Facebook and all the stuff, and he kind of was able to transcend the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would have to say he's the greatest basketball player in our era of watching basketball. Now, you know, I know some of the real historians may point out Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, and they could very well be in that conversation for greatest of all time. I can, you know, I've only seen highlights of those players, but based on what I've seen with my eyes of my era, I would definitely rank Michael Jordan number one. I think I would rank Magic Johnson number two. I would think that those are the top two players in the NBA that I've seen in my era of watching basketball. And so that's just, I think Michael Jordan definitely added a lot of pizzazz to the game, and so did Magic Johnson. But I would definitely say that Michael Jordan is the greatest that I've seen with my own four eyes in watching NBA basketball.
Your four eyes, Rob? Like that, man. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's for me to say, not for you to say.
No, that's great. No, but like you said, it's just interesting too because, you know, we're talking about somebody that, you know, even, you know, the culture and, you know, I remember like the Morris Blackmans, the shoes and, you know, how Jordans kind of came in the scene. It's just, I was just sitting back there like and just kind of thinking about everything that happened during the time and during the 90s and the fact that, you know, we got just some conversation as far as how his will to win and how he was getting certain calls. And I was like, you know, Jordan came to the league and he had to work on a lot of different things. He had to work on his game. He had to go through the Pistons. He had to go through the Lakers. He had to go through the Celtics. And he finally was able to achieve that pinnacle. And I think he made everyone around him better. So it's just interesting. You know, he needed the Scotty. He needed, you know, certain players to kind of help stabilize him. And later on in his career, he had those different players too. But just kind of a great moment. And, you know, like you said, you know, I've seen the Charles Barkley's impressed with him. He was he's also, you know, having a birthday too. So it's just good to see players that have kind of made their mark on the NBA as well, sir.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of great players. You know, some people are just blessed to come in the league and be on a great team. Obviously, Jordan had to climb that mountain to get to the top. And it also, he needed a few pieces to build that championship roster. And, of course, you know, getting Phil Jackson as well. And but I think, you know, ultimately the guy was an incredible worker, an incredible competitor, an incredible warrior on a basketball court. And definitely, like I said, he's the best in our era of watching basketball, in my humble opinion.
Gotcha. Good deal. Let's recap the college basketball classic showdown between Indiana and Michigan State. You talked about a great game, Rob. What are your thoughts on Indiana? They pulled it out. Give us your thoughts. And this was a great, great game. It kind of maybe setting the stage for, you know, maybe something in a future meeting in the NCAA, March Madness.
Well, yes. I mean, the Big Ten is loaded. I mean, we talk about the Big Ten in football being horrific and it's, you know, it's boring. It's like watching paint dry. But Big Ten basketball this year has been exciting. There are really a lot of good teams. This Indiana-Michigan State game was incredible. You look at this Michigan State team, they're a great defensive team, great rebounding team, typical of a Tom Izzo coach ball club. But we're hurting them down the stretch. They don't really have a true go-to guy down the stretch, and Indiana has about two of those guys with Cody Zeller. And I tell you what, this Victor Oladipo kid, I may be pronouncing his last name wrong, but a lot of NBA scouts think he's the next Dwayne Wade. I don't quite see that level just yet, but I do see him being a very good player on the NBA level. I think he's the heart and soul of that Indiana team. And, I mean, I still like them. It's been the best team in the country, even though this is a solid road win to go on a road and beat this Tom Izzo coach ball club, which destroyed Michigan last week. Michigan State did. And, I mean, I like Indiana. Miami has squeaked out another win tonight. They've got two, you know, real close wins in a row. But I like Indiana, and I like Miami as of right now to play for the national championship. And I think that's a very good win for Indiana tonight.
Yeah, like you said, just you know, they're playing lights out. They got the confidence right about now. It's like everything is kind of definitely falling together for Indiana. We're actually making them forget about Bob Knight. So we'll see how everything plays out. And as an Indiana guy, man, I'm excited that, you know, a lot of love, a lot of tweets, a lot of posts about them too. So, you know, let's keep it going and love to see Indiana do their thing and get a national championship. They got to play the games, but they're definitely.
Man, how you claim Atlanta and Indiana, man? You claim teams when it's convenient, huh?
Man, how do you claim North Carolina, man, and you're from LSU, man? Don't talk about who I'm claiming. Come on, man. You know that's where I was born. You know,
okay,
talk about
I'm
that, man.
Give you a hard time.
Come on, man. Robert's trying to, like, blast off, man. Maybe put your imaginary girlfriend on the line, man. We'll keep it going, man. All right.
You trying to put me in a Manti-Te'o conversation?
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Rob's going to have imaginary. You're about to have imaginary coach. Now we're having
oh,
a
man. No, it's not that bad.
No, we got about 6.5 minutes to go. For those that want, once again, we love you guys. Listen, give us your thoughts. I mean, I know you guys are enjoying our conversation. We're going to put the number one more time. If you want to call in, share your thoughts, 424-243-9519. Hurry up before we have somebody call in and kind of act like they're a different person. But it's all good. Let's talk about the NFL mock draft and some combine talk. And we'll talk about some mock draft after this. I don't know, was there anything you wanted to point out with the with your mock draft story? You want to kind of talk about some combine talk? Because I definitely want to get to some interesting topics as far as if you think players' stocks have been risen and fallen based upon some certain discretions like the Matt Barkley's of the world and maybe the Alec Ogletree's. I'm kind of giving you an option. Do you want to go mark draft? You want to go combine talk?
Well, let's
sir.
Kind of talk about all of the above right here. And, you know, obviously I'm going to have a new mock draft coming up here real soon after the combine. And we kind of get some of these pro days in and some of these individual workouts coming in. So I still think we're a little bit in the early stages. But I would definitely like to comment on Matt Barkley and Alex Ogletree before we go into our OT portion here. Matt Barkley, I don't think him not joining the combine is going to hurt his draft stock one bit. This kid has thrown over 1,000-something passes in college football here. already. Scouts got enough film on the kid to really evaluate them. He's probably going to throw at his pro day. He's going to throw at his individual workouts. I don't think this is going to hurt him not one bit as far as whether he's going to move up a draft board or move down the draft board. So I think Matt Barkley, this is no big deal. And I probably think it's just the media kind of just blowing it all out of proportion. But I think in NFL circles, this is no big deal at all. And I think when you look at the Alex Ogletree situation now, in his situation, this could definitely hurt him. You know, a lot of teams are looking at character issues right now. I mean, right now I have Alex Ogletree going 18 to Dallas with Monty Kiffin changing that team to a 4-3 defense. But that could change. He could go down. You look at a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they have been a team that have not been scared of guys that are getting in some trouble. In some cases, it's worked out great for them. And so I think teams are going to do their due diligence on Ogletree. I think he's a heck of a football player. I see some mock drafts had him all the way up in the top 10 prior to this incident. But this could make him slide down a little bit. But I think if he goes in, he interviews well, answers the questions, tell them exactly what happened, you know, promise it won't happen again, that kind of thing. You can see he's definitely a first-round talent. So we kind of have to wait and see how he does in the interviews here coming up soon. But in this situation, his stock, you know, could go down as a result of this. But I don't think Matt Barkley is going to go either way as a result of him not throwing.
You know, this is where we differ, man. I'm always the type of person where, yeah, they've seen, you know, you throw 1,000 passes, but, you know, what if there's a little something extra, you know, that you can actually do by, you know, getting some, being around coaches, getting them to kind of analyze your game or something. I mean, I don't think it can hurt you, you know, like you said, but it's just, I think it's good to kind of get that competition going. So you can say, you know what? I'm going to do this. And, yeah, you may not have the best game. At least you were in there. You know, at least you kind of threw the ball, you know, all that good stuff. So I never understand why guys don't do that. And, you know, like I said, I harken back to last year to Andrew Luck and RG3. They did their thing, and that was good. I mean, yeah, they were the top two quarterbacks, but they still wanted to compete, and I think it's a good sign as far as, you know, we want to definitely be in the game. So I don't know. It's one of the situations where unless your agent pretty much says to you, you know, hey, don't go in there and do certain things because you're going to fall. But, I mean, I don't know. That's just me. I'm always thinking let the competition, you know, fall where it may. And also with Alec Ogletree, it's a good point, too, because the biggest thing we talk about is having certain patterns. You know, this guy, you know, had a pattern. He stole, like, a teammate's helmet or something like that. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's getting suspended. And, you know, there's certain things that you have to kind of check and see what's really going on with this guy, you know. And obviously we're not saying he's a bad guy, but it's certain things that, you know, eventually you have to kind of question and say, okay, what type of person I really dealt with? You know, obviously when is that situation where your risk outweighs your reward with the talent? Because there's been a lot of talented guys that haven't panned out. So, you know, definitely, like you said, some teams are going to do their due diligence or going to ask them a lot of questions. And hopefully he'll be able to pass those. And like I said, you know, if you're Dallas, you're ecstatic to be there at 18. I don't know if he's going to drop that far, but, you know, you're definitely going to get a talented player no matter what. So we got about a minute and 38 seconds and counting. Rob, you want to set up for the OT portion of next week as well?
Absolutely. Next Tuesday night, people. Make sure you all join us 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our good friends in Germany, that'll be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning to catch us live. Of course, we'll be right in the middle of combine coverage, draft coverage, NBA season heating up right now. You know, we'll probably be talking about whatever trades that may or may not happen here in the NBA this coming week. College basketball, we're getting to that point where we're almost our favorite time of the year in March Madness. So we're going to be covering a lot of this here in the next few weeks. So make sure you join us every Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. in Germany. You don't want to miss it. And make sure you all tune in tomorrow, the same link to catch our OT portion. We still have more NFL talk coming up here. Good night, people.
Good night, people. This is what it's all about. We definitely want to, you know, just definitely tell you, like our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/12thmansports. Follow us on Twitter, and we do a good job as far as keeping updates. And, yeah, breaking news, all that fun stuff is what it's all about. We're going to keep it going, and that's what we do, Rob. It's just kind of a fun time of us talking sports. And, yeah, we're going to keep it going. We're going to talk about some.
Don't make it do what it do, baby.
And like you said, you know, we'll see how it plays out, too. Maybe Josh Middleton will be trading. We'll see how that plays out, too. We're signing out.
It won't be the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
I hope not.
Good night, people.
I love it, Rob. I got it. Just get a little something here, as we always try to end the show. But let's talk about the NFL Combine, which is actually coming up. A lot of players doing their thing, doing their due diligence, getting ready to get weighed and measured and all that fun stuff. And this is kind of similar to the mock draft as well. And I guess as we get ready to head into this, I mean, do we have any sleepers that you're thinking about? And hopefully the combine, we always have these certain stories about, you know, certain guys that have low Wonderlic scores and, you know, end up doing their thing. You know, Ben Roethlisberger didn't really test that well, but you see how he's evolved. The Mike Bamulas of the world that's been known as the workout warriors and just did terrible. I guess any thoughts about the coming up combine that you want to share as we get excited? It starts on the 23rd of February, sir.
Well, we're talking about sleepers here. I'm going to throw out a name here, Ryan Nissip, the quarterback from Syracuse, coached by Doug Marrone. And right now, he's definitely, in my book, a top five quarterback in this draft and has a slight chance to get into the first round to this draft. I'm not going to say right now I don't have him going in the first round, but he has a slight chance. Accurate passer. I think if he can really go in and works out extremely well, showcases his arm strength and accuracy. He was well-coached, played in the pro-style offense. This guy could be a real sleeper, and you're going to see. I think he's going to go higher than a lot of people thought. I'm not sure if that's going to be a first round or early second round, but I think this is a guy that's going to be climbing draft boards before it's all said and done.
You're the agent for a certain player. You're the agent for my guy from the quarterback from NC State, Mike Glennon. Are you having him throw? What's your analysis on him, and how do you think he's going to particularly perform and for the combine?
Well, I think Glennon is a solid prospect. I think the thing that concerned you with Glennon, he seemed to fade in big games. And so I think that's the and you know, talent, you know, the type of talent that he played with could be a factor in that. But, you know, he showed that he faded in some big games this past season. And right now I still have an early second-round grade on him. And so that's where I kind of project him to go. I know there's some scouts that believe he will be a first-round pick. Right now I see him as an early second-round, maybe one of the top 10 picks in the second round of the draft. And my philosophy here is this here, if you're an agent, if you are a top 10 pick, if you're guaranteed to be a top 10 pick, I wouldn't force you to throw at the combine. But in Mike Glennon's case, in my book, I view him as a second-round pick. And if he's healthy, I want him to throw to try to move up into the first round of the draft. So that's just kind of my take on the situation. You know, and he hasn't started for 3 or 4 years like a Matt Barkley has either. So I think you want to still showcase, you know, a lot of your talents.
I'm going to throw out to get your thoughts on two players now, and this is a little biased, but I'm just kind of wanting to hear your thoughts. Marcus Lattimore, what do you think about him? Do you think he's going to do some things? What's your projection on him on the next level? Obviously a tough, tough runner. He's had those two devastating injuries. How does he project, you think, on the next level?
Well, I think if you can, you know, if he can really show that he's healthy, you know, you're going to see some teams that's going to be lining up to take a chance on him. It won't be a first rounder. I don't think he's going to make that drastic leap like Willis McGahee did. But I think you can see a second round or a third round team taking a chance on him to be healthy. I mean, the kid, even before the second injury, he was still considered the best running back in this draft and would have still been a first-round pick even after the first injury. So it's a little disheartening that he lost out on an opportunity to be a first-round pick. He will not be a first-round pick. He won't make that leap like McGahee. But I think football scouts know what type of back he is if he can get healthy. He's got great vision, great explosion, great power. great hands out of the backfield. He can do a lot of different things to help your ball club. And it's just going to be hard. And today, in this day and age, it's going to be hard. You have to be extremely elite to be a running back that's going to be taken in the first round, just because there's just so much value in running backs in later rounds now.
What about your boy, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu? What do you think about him moving on in the NBL? What do you think, some thoughts about him, sir?
Yeah, there'll be a team that's going to take a shot at him in around the fourth or fifth round. He's somewhere in that middle pack of the draft. Even before this incident, I'd never viewed him as a first-round player. I viewed him as like a second-round talent. And the reason for that is cover skills are not necessarily elite, but he's a big playmaker. You know, he's a great return guy. He can return. He can help you in the punt and kickoff guy. And he's a great playmaker in the slots, blitzing guy, forcing turnovers. He's that kind of a player. But if you want him to be the pure cover corner, he's not that type of player. And that's why I never viewed him as a first-round pick, because of his size. He's a little on the short end. He's about 5'9". And so he's more of a player that just finds the football, playmaking type, but not that pure cover corner. And so now with the off-the-field incidents, I think his value drops from a second-round grade to somewhere around fourth, fifth-round grade. And we got to see how well he does in the interviews. He's going to have to explain himself really well, and he's also going to have to really grade out on the field pretty well here with score, speed and 40-yard dash and things of that nature as well. And he's been out of football a whole season, too. That definitely hurts a player.
Yeah, you got to worry about that, too, if he's going to be able to bounce back from that and what's going on in his head, like mentally. You know, that's the biggest thing, too. As you start moving forward, it's more of a mental game more than just a physical game, too.
But he's one of those versatile players that can help you in a lot of areas. So somebody will take a chance on him in the fourth, fifth round.
Oh, definitely. This guy is, you know, he's a playmaker, as you said, man. So somebody's gonna pick a fire on him, and I think he's got some talent. So that's the biggest thing we talked about earlier. Talent can always outweigh certain things. That's that risk reward, as you always talk about as well, too. Word on the street, Rob, is that the Kansas City Chiefs are actually pursuing a trade for Nick Foles. What do we think about this? Are they trying to throw smoke signals, or do you actually think this is going to play out? Because I know your mock draft, you had them taking Geno Smith for that number one pick. So, number one, if the trade goes down, what happens with their pick? And then where do you think Geno Smith is going to go if this actually does transpire?
Well, I don't think this is a smoke screen at all. I think the Chiefs really are showing some interest in Nick Foles. And based on my sources with the Chiefs here, the Chiefs are not high at the moment. Now, this could change. But at the moment, they are not high on any quarterback going number one. So you'll see that on my next mock draft. More than likely, I will not have a quarterback in that number one slot for the Chiefs. And so right now, this is not a smokescreen. And I think the Eagles are also willing to trade Nick Foles, because I do think that Chip Kelly wants to go with guys that can really throw the ball as well as run a spread option offense, his read option offense. And so right now, I think he is willing to go into the season with guys like Michael Vick and Dennis Dixon and possibly bringing in the third quarterback to compete. So I do think Chip Kelly and the Eagles are willing to possibly trade Nick Foles to the Chiefs. Andy Reid still wants to run a West Coast offense. And I think he's got Nick Foles as the guy that he's willing to work with and kind of develop there. And so look for him. I'm not sure if this trade will happen, but I definitely think that both teams are going to definitely weigh it heavily.
This might be a case of a win-win scenario if that actually goes down too. And I don't know, I haven't had a chance to look exactly what the offer is if this actually goes down. Are they talking some second-round picks? Or what exactly, do you know any details about what they're looking to trade, or have you heard anything about that just yet?
Well, that's, none of that has been confirmed yet, but I would think Nick Foles, I don't think he's worthy of a first-round trade. So you may be possibly looking at a second, third round, or a couple of third-rounders, or one second-round, or something like that. I think would probably be a fair trade for a guy like a Nick Foles.
Gotcha. So what happens? Let's say that the trade is executed. So then what happens with Kansas City's pick? Who do they go with? And I hope I'm not taking any of your thunder next week, Rob. But also, and then also, where do you think Geno Smith actually is going to fall to? So that's kind of a two-part question for you.
Well, I think the Kansas City Chiefs will either look at Luke Jokel or Star Latulé, the defensive tackle from Utah. They're going to look at one of those two options. The Chiefs looks as though they're going to stick with the 3-4 defense, and Star Latulé can definitely fill in that spot. They need a true nose tackle in that defense, or they definitely can go with Luke Jokel, who could be their left tackle for years to come. And I'm kind of leaning toward it will be Luke Jokel, a guy that can protect the quarterback, and it definitely helped him to establish a strong running game as well. So that's where I'm kind of leaning. I think it'll be one of those two guys will be who the Chiefs would be looking at that number one pick. Now, next question, where would Geno Smith fall to? I think there's a couple of options. I think you could possibly look at Arizona, and I think the next option would be the Buffalo Bills. And I'm thinking, and this is just me talking here, my thinking is Arizona may try to wait to the second round to draft a quarterback or try to see if they can make a play for an Alex Smith. I think Buffalo is more inclined with the new head coach, Doug Marrone, and I don't think they're sold on Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they're a little bit more inclined to draft a quarterback in the first round. So my guess is Geno Smith will fall to like a number 8 spot in this draft to Buffalo. It'll be 7 or 8, Arizona, Buffalo. I'm guessing Buffalo right now. I think Arizona is willing to wait. I think Arizona is hoping to grab somebody in free agency or trade like an Alex Smith. But if not, I think they're willing to wait to the second round to get a QB.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is going to be very interesting, too. And this is the time I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to go on with the combine, too, because maybe there's going to be some guys that are going to definitely let us surprise us, going to have outstanding combine times. This is what we're going to talk about next week as we recap as we get ready to set the show for next week. But, this mock draft, it's kind of a cool thing that's going to evolve based upon some free agency moves and stuff like that, too, because, like I said, right now, you got Matt Barkley on number 8 to Buffalo. So we'll see how that plays out, too, because you think he's going to sign in his workout soon. There's a lot of interesting quarterbacks we didn't mention, like Landry Jones, Tyler Bray, the quarterback from Tennessee. Tyler Wilson. There's a lot of interesting, guys, definitely, from what's going to happen, for the combine, too. So I don't know if you want to, we've got about 3 minutes left in the show, Rob, so I don't know if you want to add any certain things you want to talk about as we get ready to set up next week as well, certain things you want to talk about or anything you want to comment on your mock draft.
Well, I think, like I said, it's no mock draft is going to be perfect. So I think anytime you put out a mock draft, you're going to have some people that agree with you and disagree with you, and that's pretty normal. No mock draft is going to be perfect, so there's no doubt about that. So there's going to be a lot of changes. I'm probably going to have about 3 or 4 of these, 3 or 4 more mock drafts before the actual real draft here coming up. So there's going to be a lot of changes based on what we're seeing here in pro days, what we're seeing here in individual workouts, what we're seeing here in combines, what we're seeing here in interviews. There's still a lot of things here. We're still a little bit over 2 months before the draft. So there's going to be a lot of ebb and flow on what's going to take place with these teams. Free agency is going to play a huge role in what teams are going to be looking at in the draft. Most teams like to cover their needs here in free agency and go into the draft with the opportunity to hopefully draft best players available. So it's going to be a lot. You look at a team like your Atlanta Falcons, is Tony Gonzalez coming back or is he not coming back? That's going to probably decide if the Falcons are going to draft a tight end here in the first round or not. So there's just a lot of things that still has to play out prior to the upcoming draft. And like I said, free agency will probably tell us a lot about where teams are going to go here in the draft as well.
All my combine players, give me a call. I'll be there to make sure you guys don't have any DUIs, don't smoke any weed, anything like that, because we got to keep you guys focused. Don't do stupid stuff, And out of line is what they always talk about, You have all this extra time whenever you're not working out. So seriously, give me a call. I'll get you the right place.
I totally agree with y'all. Make sure you stay away from Andre Pete.
We got about a quick minute, Rob. Set up the show for next weekend as we get ready to wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with 12 Men.
Once again, people, next Tuesday and every Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. for those in Germany on Wednesday morning. We're right in the middle of Combine Talk, NBA stretch run, college basketball stretch one, Major League Baseball getting ready to start. You all make sure you catch us every Tuesday night, people. Good night, people.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports, on Twitter @12thmansports as well. I am Ron Peterson, my Robert Forbes.